Thank you, Father. We bless your name and we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Be seated. There is a strong oil in this place. And if you're sensitive, you're going to enjoy of the grace that is made available tonight. I want to teach for some few minutes and then we zoom into prayer. I want to finish with what we began on 10 precious remedies against Satan's devices. Now, if you follow this teaching for some time now, we explained that there are about 10 remedies against the onslaughts and devices of Satan. The reason why we keep stressing on this reality is because many Christians are so naive and ignorant of the spirit world and how it operates. And because many Christians are ignorant of how the realm of the spirit operates, Satan takes advantage of the invisible realm to operate against ignorant believers. So it's very important that we understand through this teaching the kind of armory and assets and spiritual weaponry that God has given to us and has deployed to our advantage against the plans, the purposes, and the onslaughts of the kingdom of darkness. And we explained that the first remedy against Satan's device is to walk by the rule of scripture. You become vulnerable to the devil when you walk outside of scripture. If the word of God tells you to rejoice and you don't because you are emotional about an issue, the benefits you gain in rejoicing is forfeited. And we need to understand that Satan's advantage is the realm of the flesh. In warfare, every opponent has his advantage. When you watch football, every team has the advantage. There's a team whose advantage is in their defense. There's a team whose advantage is in their midfield. There's a team whose advantage is in their striking force. It's the same with spiritual warfare. Satan has a realm in which when he's in a battle with you, he can win hands down. And the realm in which Satan gains advantage over you is when you begin to walk in the flesh. Because when you walk in the spirit, you become invisible to the devil and his schemes. When you walk in the flesh, you become flesh. You become visible to him. And whatever he deploys against your life takes effect. And as believers, our advantage is the realm of the spirit. So the Bible says walk in the spirit. It's not automatic. By virtue of salvation, you live in the spirit. But the Bible says if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. So there's a difference between being in the spirit and walking in the spirit. To be in the spirit is an act of finished work that Jesus Christ accomplished by virtue of what he did from the cross to the throne. So by virtue of your union with Christ, you are in the spirit. Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. But it is not automatic that you will walk in the spirit. I explained to you that some time ago, I was in a prayer camp. And then I went to the washroom and only for me to see a mosquito operating in a place where my hands could easily clap and kill it. I tried about 3 times. I couldn't kill the mosquito until the mosquito went higher than my height and went higher than my jump. So my height and how high I could jump could not give me victory because the law of gravity limited me. So the advantage of that mosquito was in the height he operated from. So as long as he's high, I am limited in destroying it. Are you following that? Then God began to share with me that a lot of times many Christians are like the mosquito. They operate in a realm in which Satan can easily access and reach them without knowing that it is by their height that determines their strength. So the realm you operate in determines your strength. And the realm we operate in is in the realm of the spirit. And when we walk in the word of God, we walk in the spirit. Praise God. So walking in the word of God is walking in the spirit. So assuming this small carpet here is the boundary, the canon, the measurement of scripture. Once you are outside of this carpet, you are now vulnerable to Satan. Praise God. Number two, we said, don't grieve or vex the spirit. Because it is to your disadvantage that you grieve the Holy Ghost. We explained to you 9 things you can do to grieve the Holy Ghost. We said number one is what? What? Oh, you're forgotten. Let me remind you again. That means your time will be delayed today. Corrupt communication. Number two is bitterness. Number three is wrath. Number four is anger. Number five is clamor. Number six is evil speaking. Number seven is malice. Number eight is forgetting God. And number nine is idolatry. These are things we do that grieves the Holy Spirit. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, His ministry in our lives is muted. Praise God. Number three, we said pursue heavenly wisdom. And we explained that there are 4 kinds of wisdom. There is sensual wisdom, which is wisdom that operates in your emotions. There is worldly wisdom, which operates in the world systems. There is demonic or devilish wisdom, which operates by the intelligence of demonic spirits. And then there is heavenly wisdom. And we said that there are 3 sources of heavenly wisdom. The first source of heavenly wisdom is what? The scriptures, because the word of God gives us wisdom unto salvation. The second source of wisdom is what? The leadings of the Spirit, because when you follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you receive wisdom from Him. And the third source of wisdom is counsel from godly men who have walked with God. So the teaching of one anointed man of God who has walked with God can be a wisdom that can guide your life. So anytime you are listening to an anointed man of God, or you are reading from an anointed man of God, you are gaining wisdom from his insight by his walk with God. So if you lack wisdom, get close to men who are wise. If you lack wisdom, get close to the scriptures. And if you lack wisdom, get close to the spirit. Hallelujah. Number four, we said resist Satan's attempt or first attempts immediately. Once a wrong thought shoots up, you rebuke it. If it happens 10 times, you rebuke it 10 times, because we are in war. We must always be on guard. Praise God. Number five, we said what? Strive to be filled with the Holy Ghost. According to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible tells us how to be filled. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You must learn to talk to yourself. Talk the word of God to yourself. Learn to sing alone. Spiritual songs. Make melody in your heart. Never allow depression to continue for more than 5 minutes in your life. Don't allow it. Occasionally, we all get grief sometimes because of certain situations. But when you allow grief to take over your life, you open the door for darkness. We are in war. Satan takes advantage of everything. Are you following this? He takes advantage of everything. When you overgrieve, when you are over sorrowful, it's an advantage for him. So don't let your attitude give him a clue of what is happening to you. Are we following this? Number one, number six, you said remain what? Humble, because humility is a weapon against the kingdom of darkness. Satan cannot stand proud, humble people, because he's a proud man. Better still, he's a proud being. He fell because of pride. So pride is one of his greatest weapons. If Satan wants to destroy you, he first sends you the gift of pride. And once you receive the gift of pride, just know that you are going down, because you're going nowhere. Pride always goes before a fall. And we explain that humility is first revealed in your attitude towards who? God. It is in your reverence, your honor and respect for God that defines true humility. It's not putting your hands at your back. So how you treat God in worship, how you honor God, how you behave in the presence of God is the first sign of your humility. And we said humility is also revealed, secondly, in the attitude towards yourself. How you see yourself. How you see yourself. You can't be corrected. You can't be rebuked. You can't be confronted. Just know you're going nowhere. And thirdly, humility is revealed in the what? Attitude of towards others. How you see people. To you, nobody rises above you. Anybody that rises above you becomes an intimidation to you. You are just not okay that people preach better than you. You are just not okay that people sing better than you. You are just not okay that people are gifted more than you. You are walking in pride. You need to check your attitude towards others. Learn when you realize someone is more gifted than you, learn to appraise the person. That's how you grow. That's how you rise. That's how you forfeit Satan's inventions against your life. So you have to remain humble. And God will test you in the area of humility in several ways. He will use men. He will use your family members. He will use your boss. He will use your colleagues. He will use incidents. He will use several things. Oh, I'm telling you, there was one time I exhibited a certain kind of pride and the Holy Ghost rebuked me instantly. He said, son, this is pride. I was watching a man of God on TV and he preached for 30 minutes and whatever he was saying was... And in my mind, I said, so who paid airtime for this guy? Who is wasting airtime on this guy? Because what is preaching, even me, I didn't understand. And I said, so you see, this is why we need to be on TV. Hey! And God said, son, you'll never be on TV. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Oh. Forgive. Mercy. Mercy on this poor boy. So if you cannot praise God for the life of a man on TV, you won't be on TV. Did you hear what I said? Listen, God, as we are all seated here, he's not looking at your clothes. He's looking at your heart. So when we come to church on Sunday, forget about your makeup. Forget about your nice suit and your new shoe and your new bag and your new tie. Because God looks beyond your outward appearance. When the sons of David, of Jesse came, they all arranged themselves. Some were stout. Some looked like kings. And anytime they all came, he says, I've rejected all of them. So what God was looking for was not stature. He was looking at the posture of a man's heart towards him. And he saw a man who was in the place of service. He was looking dirty. Taking care of sheep. And God says, no. If this man is in the place of service as a young man, taking care of sheep, he can take care of the lost sheep of Israel. So you see, we need to understand that humility is one of the deepest secrets. Even the Son of Man, when he came on this earth, he's God. But the Bible says he thought it no robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. The reason why God can't use it is because you have a reputation. The day you find yourself saying, do you know who I am? That's when you lost it all. Who are you? You see, the way God is dealing with some of us, we are always trying to lose. Because listen, in the kingdom, the only way to gain is to lose. When God is looking at you, he's looking at how much you are losing. It's not how much you are gaining. John, when Jesus came and took all the fans, took all his glory and took all his disciples. And somebody came to confront him and said, haven't you realized? Why do you glory? Why do you shine? Why do you disciples? You know what John said? He must increase. I must decrease. No wonder amongst all men born of a woman, he was the greatest prophet that ever existed. Not because he worked a miracle, but because he was not intimidated to to introduce the Messiah and recognize him as one who is high above him, of whom he is not worthy to untie his shoes. That was John's humility. If you find it difficult to say sorry, I'm sorry for you. See, if sorry is very hard for you at this your age, if sorry is hard for you, I'm sorry. It won't happen again. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. At this your age, if it's hard for you, you are going nowhere. Do you hear what I just said? If I'm sorry is hard for you, you won't survive in marriage. You won't survive at work. You won't survive in ministry. I don't know where you think you survive. I'm telling you the truth. Can you be belittled and it will not intimidate you? Can people come here and not acknowledge you and you'll be okay with it? Can you come and pray here for 24 hours and nobody will hear it? And nobody talked about it? Nobody made noise about you? It's painful, though. I hope you're aware. Will you be okay? That you prayed for revival and didn't start with you. Oh Lord, revive the nations. Revive the nations. And God started in a nation that didn't look like it. That was like Jonah. God sent Jonah to go and tell a nation that beware, in 40 days I am about to destroy everybody in the place. Now, Jonah gave an accurate prophecy. But guess what? The attitude of the people turned the heart of God. Because they fasted. And the king fasted. The queen fasted. Queen mother fasted. Queen father fasted. Including animals, they all fasted. And God said, if animals are fasting, then indeed, these people are really repented. And God said, Jonah, me as I go kill them, I'm not going to kill them. And Jonah was angry that God has disgraced him before the people. So can you be a prophet and you give a prophecy and it won't come to pass? And be okay. The reason why you God can't use it is because you said, your name is Akos. And he says, no, my name is Apas. And he said, I'm prophesying again. Lord, you have used me. So pride is the reason why God is so, see, pride is so subtle that you won't realize it. You won't see it. You never see it coming. Please, are you following what I'm saying? May the Lord help us. And unfortunately, there's one prayer I can't pray. You can't pray and say, God, make me humble. Lord, teach me to be humble. Lord, humble me. If God humbles you, he humiliates you. He tells you, humble yourself. That's what the Bible says. Humble yourself. So humility is your responsibility. Have you noticed that the Bible says God, the Bible never said God gave grace to be humble. It says he gives grace to the humble. I repeat myself. There is no scripture that says God gives grace to be humble. Rather, he gives grace to the humble. So grace is not given to be humble. Grace is given to the humble. So you see, maybe you don't know that humility, the root word actually means humid. That means sand. That you have to bring yourself as low as sand. Humid or humus, sand. I feel the Holy Ghost here. So we have to remain humble. Because hear me, once you walk out of humility into the place of pride, Satan gives you an advantage to destroy your life. Never see yourself better than anybody. I am afraid to acknowledge myself as the greatest teacher, because I've not met teachers. Elijah said, Lord, I am your only prophet, because all of them are messing up. They are false prophets. And says, Elijah, Tenase, I have 7,000 prophets who have not contaminated themselves. So, Jankwasa, 7,000. That one is paraphrased by Isaac Lapapo. Elijah said, I'm the only one. You see, when you begin to customize yourself to think that you are the only one, you've never, nobody has preached this message before. Sometimes people will tell you things, but when you are done, wash yourself with the blood of Jesus. People tell you things, man of God, you are one in town. Be careful. Anything that eats up your head and your ego, it magnifies you. You know, the day we say, okay, Sir Dennis, you're not sitting here again, no. From today, you sit at the back for the next 6 months. How will you feel? Forgetting that this is only a chair and you're in front. Don't quickly react. When someone says you're a fool, are you a fool? So what proves you're a fool is when you react. I remember when we went to the police headquarters some time ago, the guy who was fighting with us, the insult he gave to me, some of the insults, I've never heard it in my life before, and I don't know this man from anywhere. I've not done anything to him, and I just smiled to him and I turned myself and I left. Imagine, it would have me. Do you know me? You know what I can do to you? When I speak, you won't rise. Mekata wa domno so, mekata so. Area, it is, see, when Satan is happy to see you working in pride, because it is pride that has broken marriages. Say sorry to your wife, he said, I don't say it. Say sorry to your husband, he said, no. When I say it, he'll feel like he's a big boy. When I say it, it will be like he has won. Listen, we are not in a relationship to win anything. We are in a relationship to build. So you can win and lose a relationship. I'm teaching good here. I don't know why I'm staying here. Because I'm supposed to be moving, I'm supposed to be advancing by now. But the Holy Ghost is working something, it's moving like a magnet. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us all. In Jesus' name. Number 7, we said what? Maintain a strong and constant watch. That means be on guard. I can't explain that because it's too long. Number 8, we said what? Maintain what? What? Communion with God. And we differentiated prayer from communion, in as much as prayer is connected to what? Communion. We said to commune with God is to what? What? Oh, staying in touch with God. It also means what? Checking up on God. What again? Fellowship is so, it's like a constant thing you do on God. So you see, It's possible to finish your 1 hour prayer from 6 to 7 a.m. and the rest of the time it's not about God again. It's like you have fulfilled your assignment towards God. God said we should pray, so I've given him his 1 hour. The rest of the 1 hour, the rest of the 23 hours is for reals. There is a place of, listen, he says the the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the what? Communion of the Holy Ghost with us all. So listen, God wants us to commune with him. And I give you about how many points on how to commune with God. Number one is what? Tell him you love him constantly. Just say, I love you, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. And what? And you, how hungry you are for him. I'm just hungry for you. I give you some verses. We said number two, what? Frequently read verses of scripture at all times. Just take Psalm 23 and just read it and go back again to what you're doing. Number three, we said what? Pause occasionally during busy activities and just what? Think about him by pondering over his word, his goodness, and his kindness. Number four, we said what? Listen to or watch what? A message that reminds you about him. Number five, we said play some love songs, gospel songs, and sing along. Number six, we said what? Be in church for corporate fellowship. And number seven, we said what? Take the communion. Anytime you take communion, you are communion with God. Today's message. I hope I do this in 10, 15 minutes, then we pray. Number 10, which I believe is very strong. The 10th precious remedy against Satan's devices is pray much. Pray much. That's M-U-C-H. Pray much. Pray a lot. I didn't just say pray longo. I said what? Pray much. You can pray much without praying long. But you cannot pray long without praying much. Are you getting this thing? Pray much. So now, how does prayer serve as a remedy against Satan's devices? Today I'm going to bless you so much with something serious. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. Now, if a layman takes this word, pray without ceasing, when you check other versions, he says, pray at all times, pray always. Pray every minute, every second, every split second. So now, someone will be like, so man of God, so if I'm supposed to pray without ceasing, I may end up ceasing to do a lot of things if I'm not to cease to pray. Are you getting that? I can't go to work, and if I'm at work and I'm continuing to pray, I'll lose concentration, eventually I lose my job. So the Bible says pray without ceasing. What does it mean? Now we need to understand that pray without ceasing is not first of all talking about praying at every given second. Please, are you following what I'm saying? It's actually, it's not the attitude of the mouth. It's the attitude and posture of the heart when we say pray without ceasing. So pray without ceasing is not an attitude of the mouth where you are always saying something. Your boss calls you, enter the office. How are you, sir? Can you bring me some hot coffee? Boss, here you are. Coffee, please come. Kamro shapala kamro boso. Get out of my office and don't come back again. Kayaba shakamra. You are done. So pray without ceasing is not the attitude of the mouth. It's the attitude of what? The heart. It is a state where the heart is always in connection with God. Prayer without ceasing is a state in which the heart is always in connection with God. That means our heart is always in a praying mood. Our heart is always in a praying mood. The heart is always in a praying mood. Saying something to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to Jesus. You are wonderful. Protect my mother. In the name of Jesus. Someone called you and said, Sam, I'm traveling to Kumasi. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord be with you and protect your life in the name of Jesus. He said, all right, thank you. Hey, Oso. it's a blessing. He cast the line and then he said, Father, in the name of Jesus, as Sam is going, I pray you protect him on the highway. Whichever car he sits in, I pray the Father you protect him, preserve him, take him and bring him back safely in Jesus' name. Amen. That's just a minute. Done. Someone talks to you and said, my mother is sick. Oh, she's sick. Can we just agree in prayer and just pray for her? Father, in Jesus' name, we want to commit Auntie Fia into your hands. We ask the Father, wherever she is, let your power touch her right now in Jesus' name. You have visitors. They come and meet you in the house. Before you talk, just, Father, thank you. We acknowledge you in this place. So by the time you are done, everything in your life is in a prayer mood. You get food. You take it. Father, thank you for giving me food today. I receive this food in the name of Jesus. I sanctify this food. And I declare I eat your glory. I ask that you feed the hungry. Be glorified. This is my meeting. This is my eating. In Jesus' name. Amen. Then you eat the food. You know, some of you just take food. Ram. You just eat. See, I train myself to the extent that even water, I pray over water before I drink it. Someone gives you biscuit. You are done with it. Finite. Still. You are done. Both floats. You are done. Crab. Crow. Crow. You are done. Wele. How? In cake. You are done. Achamon. You are done. Hey. Oblayo. You are done. Hey, go me room. You drink it. So when you are the believer that knows how to pray without ceasing, your life becomes a praying life. You are going to work. You say, Father, thank you for preserving me as I go to work. You go to work, you sit on your chair. Father, thank you for bringing me back safely. I bless you. Thank you for giving me wisdom to work today. I give you praise in Jesus that you're in charge of this work. In Jesus' name. You don't know who has put medicine on your chair. You see, it is only Christians who thinks that everybody in their office loves them. It's only Christians. The love of God is not in the office. Because these days, even in church, you must fear people. How much more your office? Your promotion is someone's burden. That your small salary, somebody wants to kill you for it, I'm telling you. This are 1.5 plot. Someone took us to Juju to kill me. 1.5 plot. Hey, when Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, I died for a plot. The wickedness of men. Tell someone the wickedness of men. So you pray without see. You have no idea what one see. If you are, you see, listen to me. What I'm trying to say is that have a praying time, but better still, have a praying life. It's good to have a praying time, but better to have a praying life. So you can have a praying time and not have a praying life. When we are saying that pray without ceasing, we are saying that you have moved from prayer time to prayer life. So now your 7 o'clock prayer serves as a foundation that cooks you, prepares you, puts you in a consciousness where you are always in the mood to have an affair with God. See, these are things that you have to see, you have to consciously practice them, because you will forget it. I know what I'm saying. You forget it. Listen, I'm saying, tomorrow morning, in fact, tonight, in fact, now, you have forgotten. I'm telling you the truth. I have to see, when I'm about to preach, in the car, I pray. In the room, I say, God, I don't have a message. Bless the people. I have my note. But Father, preach by your spirit. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Sometimes I just pray for my wife at work. Just a minute, meanwhile, I've prayed already. So I can just be in a chair. Father, thank you so much for your goodness over my life. I'm so grateful. Now, in that atmosphere, when you have much prayer surrounding your life, Satan is scared of you. One thing Satan hates is Christians who keep in touch with God all the time through prayer, who commit everything into God's hands. Listen, the Bible says, commit your ways unto the Lord and he shall bring it to pass. Have you realized there are some things that hasn't come to pass? You know why? You didn't commit it. You never commit your journey to work into the hands of God. You never commit your children into the hands of God. It was recently I got to know that every single time you have to see, if you are a minister who has done a lot of deliverances and delivered people, you have to learn to pray for your wife and your children, because they are targets of the wicked one. If you have engaged in a deliverance before, or you were part of those who were doing it. You help somebody to fall down, the man of God said, go, and you are the one holding the person, and the demon is watching you as he's going down. Oh, really? Okay. You have to pray for your siblings, because you have looked for trouble. The thing is that, see, in the realm of the spirit, because you are a Christian, you are always in trouble. So you don't look for trouble, though. You are trouble to the devil. Please, are you following what I'm saying? So I have to commit my family, my wife, my children, my boy at school. I said, Father, preserve him at school. Because you may be at home and they may come and give you a report that your son has fallen from a 3-story building, because one of the students carelessly pushed him. Please, are you following what I'm saying? So learn to commit people, commit things into the hands of God, projects into the hands of God, businesses into the hands of God, journeys into the hands of God, food into the hands of God. Even short distances, people have died because they were walking to short distances. They died. Please, are you following what I'm saying? Commit your ways to the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Listen, anything you don't commit to God, you are trying to say that your understanding can accomplish it. In all your ways, look, he didn't say one. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him and he shall what? Direct your path. You see, the person projecting it is a Rasta man, so he doesn't know where the verse is. So he doesn't know. He has to go for Bible school. Aire, project it for us. You feeling Aire tonight? Bumble clap, man. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. Ever funny, sir? Me, I know somebody whispered it to him. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Look at the next verse. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge. Anytime you pray about a situation, you have acknowledged God. And he shall what? Direct. Listen, divine direction, it starts with prayer.
Yes.
Divine leading always begins with divine acknowledgement. Am I blessing some lives today? Now, there's something that is interesting and you need to find out. I was just there. The Holy Ghost was just teaching me about these things. I was like, wow, this is amazing. You'll be shocked. 5 times, the Bible says something. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. He says you must pray at every time. That's pray without ceasing. That's number one. Number one, you pray what? Every time. If you read Romans 12:12, it says continue in prayer. Colossians 4:2, it says be instant in prayer. So we are to number one, what? Pray every time. Number two, we are to pray about everything. Philippians 4:6. This is very interesting. It's going to bless you. The Bible says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4:6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing but what? In everything by prayer. So number one, we pray every time. Number two, we pray about everything. Number three, we pray everywhere. 1 Timothy 2:8. 1 Timothy 2:8. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Which means your prayer closet. It's not the only place you can meet with God. Everywhere. You can pray in the office. You can pray in the toilet. You can pray in the bathroom. Most of the time in the bathhouse, I pray simple prayers. Father, keep me from temptation. Cleanse my thoughts from evil. In the bathhouse. Bathhouse. Please, are you following this thing? So the Bible says we should pray where? Now, follow the order. Number one, pray every time. Number two, pray about everything. Number three, pray everywhere. Look at number four. You pray every way. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the verse 1 in Message translation. Every way, you know. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the verse 1 in Message translation. Message translation. Now look, he says the first thing I want you to do is what? Pray everywhere you know. That means you pray warfare, you pray prayer of thanksgiving, you pray prayer of consecration, you pray every way that you know. Prayer of agreement, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of declaration. You pray every way you know. And look, he says, pray every way you know for number five, you pray for everyone. KJV says pray for all men. So for everyone. This is very interesting about what the Bible says about prayer. So number one, it says we should pray every time. Pray about everything. Pray everywhere. Pray every way, you know, and pray for everyone. These are 5 things scripture tells us about prayer. Every time. Everything, everywhere, every way, and everyone. Hear this carefully. There are 4 entities which serves as a reason why we pray. Or reasons, or we pray because of 4 entities. Let me simplify for you. We pray because of 4 entities. There are 4 entities for which reason we pray. Are you ready for it? Number one, God is the first entity for which we pray. We pray because of God. And praying because of God is prayer of fellowship and communion with God. So, God is the first reason why we pray. And the reason why we pray because of God is for fellowship, for worship, for supplication, to make a request known to God, to keep in touch with God, to ask God for help, to make requests from God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the verse 2, the Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue does not speak unto men. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the verse 2. 14, the verse 2. 14, the verse 2. Back to KJV. Back to KJV. He says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So the first focus of the first entity for which we pray is God, so we can commune with him, so we can fellowship with him, so we can have a time where we can make a request, pour our hearts to him, enjoy him. So God should be your first focus in prayer. Are you following this? Number two, the second entity for which reason we pray is others. We pray, number two, because of others. Number one, we pray because of God. Number two, we pray because of what? Others. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the verse 1 and 2, he said, I exhort thee therefore, the first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men. All men. So men are the second entities for which reason we pray. And we call that intercession. We pray because of men for the purpose of making intercessions, entreaties for them. We pray for men because we want to change situations in their life. We want to bring them out of darkness into light. We want to snatch them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. So the second entity for which reason we pray is others. We call that intercession. So number one is God, which is fellowship. Number two is others, which is intercession. Are you following that? Number three, the third reason why, entity for which reason we pray is Satan. Satan. You see, this is where a lot of people who don't have balance have lost the whole thing. So people who understand only the love of God as a reality that is real to them will tell you prayer is all about fellowship with God, forgetting that we are not living on this earth alone. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. Look at their names. Principalities. Powers. Imagine. That's their name. It's not that they have power. Their name is powers. If you hear someone's nickname as power, what comes to mind? That's his name. It's not that they have power. They are called powers. He says rulers of darkness. They rule people. They put people in darkness of this age and spiritual world. That's their name. Wickedness. And you tell me that prayer is all about fellowship with God. When you wake up at dawn, you put your hands in your pocket. Oh God, Lord God, we want to bless your name because you are a good God. We bless you for the gift of life. This morning, we are just breathing this natural air. It's coming from you and you're so beautiful. And we love you, Jesus. Okay. Koswana kosu. Koswana kosu. Kosu. Why? New Testament believer. We pray because of who? Satan. See, if you read John 10:10, you will see his mission statement. How can you see his mission statement and not pray? The thief cometh not except to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So Satan will steal from you. He will kill, because the Bible calls him in John 8 a murderer from the beginning. He murdered Adam and Eve. Kill you spiritually and kill you physically and kill you emotionally and kill you mentally. That's what he does. He's a killer. So he's a stealer, he's a killer, and he's what? A destroyer. That's not all. He's a hinderer. According to the book of 1 Thessalonians 2:18, check it. So Satan steals, kills, destroys, he hinders. Look, he says that, wherefore we would have come, this is the apostle of grace, come unto you, even I who? Paul, the apostle of grace. Once again, but who? Who? Satan hindered us. New Testament believers who have come, New Age teachers today, say that Satan is not important. Satan is nothing. It's all about Christ. Glory. Glory. Don't understand this thing. He says Satan did what? So listen to me. Satan can hinder you from accessing something God has made available for you. You don't get this thing. So I'm giving you his assignment. So he steals, he does what? Kills, he destroys, he what? He hinders. That's number four. He also does another thing. He divorces. 1 Peter 5:8. He says, 1 Peter 5:8. He says, be sober, be vigilant. You see, so if it's all about the finished work of Christ, the Bible will never tell us to be sober and vigilant. Because your adversary, so we pray because of an enemy, an invisible enemy. He says, because the adversary, the devil, your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh seeking whom he may what? Devour. So Satan's assignment is to devour you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. This is also by Apostle Paul. Just for your information. He said, for a great door, an effectual, is open. So God can open a door. And there are what? Many what? Adversaries. Now, please come. Please come. Allah God, please come. Please come. Now, this, let's assume, okay? Now, look at this. This is a door, right? Let's assume this is a door. This four square you're seeing, there's a door. Please come. This is, I'm the one God has opened the door. The adversaries will enter through the door, but don't let you enter. So, so there is no space for you to even pass through. That's what the Bible is trying to tell you. And please come. You are the one who will seal it. So, you bow down like this, so that there'll be no space. So you won't get any space. Now look, the door is opened. But what? They are what? Adversaries. You want to go, please, anything I do, make sure I don't enter. Okay? Because even technically, I can't enter anyway. So, now, so, look, watch that, oh. See, the thing has opened. So, yes, we'll be a problem, mami, oh. Yes, we'll be a problem. But they say, you can go. They say, you can go. Jamaica Pune be. Anna Pune. Togo Pune be. Okay. You see. Move away. Move away. Togo boys. Go sit down. Hey. The door is what? The door is what? The door is open. And he didn't say there's one adversary. They are what? See, I'm telling you the truth, though. Satan is not your only adversary. There are many. So they will make sure the door that God has opened for you, you never access it. Listen, there are some deep things there. Not because I'm trying to sound deep, but see, there are people who have had encounters, who have met things. Do you know that Christians who don't persist in prayer, sometimes when the answer comes, Satan steals it? Most of these occults, And these are comforts that give children and stuff. They took it from Christians. You don't understand this. There are so many things God will listen. An angel, a principality, withheld an angel of God, an angel close to God, for 21 days. If you read one version, he arrested him until Michael came to deliver him. So it is possible that the miracle you are looking for, your angel has been arrested. You don't understand what I'm saying. You've been praying for 2 months, 3 months. It's not because God did not release the answer, but the answer is hanging somewhere. The angel bringing the answer has been conquered. So, you see, when you see, I'm sure somebody is thinking, he's a man of God. So, God and Satan, who is more powerful? So, man of God, so are you trying to tell us that Satan is so powerful that God has sent an answer and Satan will say no? You don't get it. God told Israel that go and possess it. Meanwhile, there were people already in it. He told them to go and possess a land in which people had already possessed. So, they were supposed to dispossess those who had possessed the land. Meanwhile, the land belongs to them. You don't get this thing. Israel had to fight to disinherit those who inherited the land that they were supposed to inherit. This is in your Bible. And they were supposed to conquer and conquer over and over and inherit everything God gave to them. Listen, there's a time where you have to fight for your inheritance. I'm telling you the truth. You have to do what? Fight. There are some things Satan has taken over it. Satan has an organized system that steals the glory of people. Do you know a witch can take the brain of your daughter and give it to his daughter? When he sees your star in the spirit, you don't know this. I was listening to one account where he said that any occultic person has another eye to see people who have great destinies. They have another eye also by which they can discern when someone is pregnant and the woman doesn't even know she's pregnant. So you can be one day old pregnant, an occultic person can pick it up when it's around you that you are pregnant and know the kind of baby. They can sense the kind of baby you are bringing out. How did the magis discover that a child has been born? They checked and they noticed that there was one special star which was not common. So by the star, they were able to read the location of Jesus. They didn't get the location by the Holy Spirit. So for your information, GPS began in the spirit. Oh, you don't know this. When we are talking about demonic kingdom stuff, don't doubt what you are saying, because we also understand New Testament. Please, are you following what I'm saying? So hear me carefully. Warfare is very important because there are some things that can only be gained by warfare. You will have to enforce it. You will have to take it from the hands of the devil. Listen to me. Anything that has been stolen from your life, tonight, we enter the camp of darkness and we retrieve it by the blood. I said we retrieve it by the blood. In the name of Jesus. Whatever was stolen from your life, as you shout your loudest amen, I see angels going to the kingdoms of darkness, and you are receiving it back right now in the name of Jesus. And I'm also prophesying to anyone connected to you, anybody connected to you that anything belonging to them has been stolen, tonight before you leave this place, there shall be a divine restoration in the name of Jesus. I read one account of an occult man who said they took the eyes of one woman and they put it in their occultic camp as a decoration, and physically the woman was blind, spiritually her eyes was actually a monument, kingdom of darkness. Not only her eyes,
they've taken the eyes of so many people who are blind, and their eyes are used as monuments. And one day, one of her friends carried her to a church that was a praying church, a church that prayed. And in the declaration, the man of God said, whatever belongs to you that has been stolen in an occultic camp, tonight we send forth angels to release. And guess what? Once they said it, suddenly in the occultic camp, the eyes of the woman, and not only her eyes, because the woman went to an altar that was strong, all the eyes that were stolen all vanished from the occultic camp, and it all bent. I said, whatever was stolen from you, maybe something happened through a certain engagement, through something you did ignorantly, through something you did because you didn't understand spiritual things. Something was taken from the devil. You exchanged something for something in the spirit, and Satan has taken advantage and said, I'm not giving it back. Tonight, by the blood of Jesus, by the mercies of God, we declare divine restoration right now. Receive it back now. Receive your appointment letter now. Receive your visa now. Receive your baby now. Receive your traveling door now. Receive that miracle now. Receive that money now. Receive that breakthrough now. Receive that victory now. Receive that land now. Receive that car now. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Today I was listening to one account where, listen, we must not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. That's why I study Christ and I study Satan, so that I am not ignorant of his devices. He said they are Christians. He said they entered into a certain realm, which is not in heaven, but it's in the heavenly realms. Because there are different dimensions of the spirit. And they saw prisons of Christians who have been put in prison, but on earth they are walking normal. Spiritually they are in prison. Some of them, their soul has been bound because of bitterness. Some of them, their souls have been bound in prison because of masturbation, because of all kinds of immorality. So the man said, don't easily condemn people. There are some people who are now under manipulations and demonic prisons. So on earth they are walking normal, but in the spirit they are in a cage. Whichever part of your life has been put in prison, I don't know why I'm doing this tonight. Whichever part of your life has been put in prison, whichever part of your life has been put in prison, your glory, your manifestation, your soul, your body, your health, wherever you have been placed in spiritual prisons, tonight we break those chains. We break those spiritual chains. We break every chain. We break every chain. We break every chain in the name of Jesus. We break every prison gate by the blood of Jesus. We break every prison gate in the name of Jesus. Be loosed, be set free. Be loosed, be set free. Be loosed, be set free in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and begin to pray the Holy Ghost right now. That whatever is stolen, whatever the devil has taken advantage of and taken from you, you are taking it back right now. This is a prophetic prayer. They are prayers we pray by the leadings of the Spirit. Lift your voice and pray right now. If you are aggressive, something will leave you tonight. If you are aggressive, something will come to you tonight. Something is about to happen as you are praying. But lift your voice and travail in the Spirit. Rapapaya, 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 rapapaya